kind of is a real privilege to be able to come and just talk to you guys. And it's exciting. I see Willie down here and Tim. I see just a couple guys that I got to go through CR with, and so they really are just a big part of my life. But I wanted to just tell my story to you guys tonight and just kind of share what God's done and where He's brought me from. I grew up in Norman, Oklahoma, and so I'm a big-time Oklahoma Sooner. When you're born in Norman, you really don't have a choice but to go to OU. And so I did graduate from there. But growing up through high school, through my childhood, elementary school, middle school, high school, I grew up somewhat in the church. My parents would take me to church, and I was born in the Bible Belt. And so I just kind of believed what everybody said, that Jesus is the Son of God and that there is a God and that He's out there. But He was never a part of my life. He was never a part of the decisions I made or had any kind of impact on the way I lived my life. And so I grew up playing basketball was kind of my thing. And so, even growing up, so Larry Bird was kind of my hero. And I wore a gold chain with the number 33 around my neck. And so I wanted to be Larry Bird. And so my thing was basketball, and my plan was, hey, I'm going to go to the NBA, and I'm going to be a 5'11", slow white guy, non-athletic, that's going to be in the NBA. And so this was my plan. And I remember, I'm going to go a little out of order, but one big piece. So growing up, man, I was just that guy who was always joking around, cutting up. I was a heathen, and I remember I would do anything just to please people. I would do anything to get a laugh from somebody. I would do anything just to get affirmation from people. I'm just thinking about my inventory, just going through that again, and what a crazy deal. But there was ninth grade is kind of where my story begins. There was a girlfriend that I had who it was kind of the first time I was physical with a girl, and I really just thought, she's the one, man. We're going to get married. And I remember she broke up with me. And I didn't eat for like 2 days. And I cried like a little baby. And it was crazy. But I remember this looking back, and I realized this during my time in CR. When I looked back at that, I remember telling myself, I'll never be hurt by a girl again. And I will never trust a girl again. And so from that point on, the way that I would handle just girlfriends and females was anytime they would get close, I would break up with them. I never would really, go full in. And so I was always just scared of being rejected. And so it turned into me just being physical with girls and never really having a girlfriend, but always having girlfriends and just kind of known for that. And so that was kind of my high school years. So just playing basketball and just being, that guy that, I remember I would kind of make fun of people, and so they wouldn't make fun of me, and so I just, hung out with this group of guys that are just guys that I'm praying for today, and some of those guys that I wrote on their names on that stage just yesterday. But so I grew up through there, and then so I played basketball in high school, and had a great just a couple years, and I ended up signing a scholarship to play at a junior college in Oklahoma. And so I went from there to El Reno, Oklahoma, to play basketball, and my plan was all kind of coming together. It's kind of my next step on my way to be an NBA All-Star, and so went to college and was partying a lot, and that's where I started smoking weed, and I was drinking a lot, and still just kind of managing my life to where I was still doing basketball and I was doing school, but I also had this life that I was partying a lot and still just being an idiot with girls and the way that I treated them. I remember kind of my freshman sophomore year of college was when I first saw, that was like when the internet, I'm older than I probably look, but that's right when the internet started coming around. And I remember this guy showing me that there was pornography on the internet. And I didn't have a computer at my apartment, but I remember my buddy had one. And so that was kind of my first dive into really just jumping into pornography and just thinking, hey, everybody's doing it. And all guys struggle with this. And it's not that big a deal. I'm not hurting anybody. And so just to kind of jump forward, my sophomore year of college, still playing basketball, everything's going great. Well, after a basketball game, we would always have these parties. And so after one of these games, I had a great game. We had a party that night over at my buddy Brad's house. I had had a lot to drink, and so I'm sitting on this couch by myself, and there's probably, 50, 75 people in this apartment, but I'm on this couch by myself, and I start looking through this Case Logic that was something that you just held CDs in, and uh, this girl Summer. It was her Case Logic. I started flipping through there and I saw the CD that said Jesus Freak written on it, and it was by a band called DC Talk. And I remember seeing that in that title of that record and going, "This is the worst name for an album I've ever heard." And I just thought it was so cheesy to name something Jesus Freak. But for some reason, I really wanted to hear this. And so no one was looking, and so I borrowed that CD. I took it with me, and the next day, I had about a 40-minute ride home to Norman and from El Reno. And so I'm driving down the highway, I-40, and I started listening to the songs. I didn't like any of them, but I landed on a song called What If I Stumble, What If I Fall? And it's a song where I started listening to these Christian guys talk about how they have a relationship with Christ, but they're still nervous. They're a little anxious about what do we do if we mess up? What are people going to think of us if we mess up? And my big hang-up at that point was, again, I knew who God was, and I knew the name Jesus, but had no impact on my life, and I had no relationship with Christ. And so my big hang-up was I was such a bad person that God couldn't love me, that I could never have a relationship with God because I'd have to work my way in, I would disappoint Him. And I really thought I would mess Christianity up for everybody if they knew I was a Christian and I acted the way I was acting. And so this was the very first time that I heard of grace. It was the very first time I started to understand what grace was, and that God doesn't care how hard I work. He doesn't care the baggage and the junk that I have, but He loves me the way that I am. And I pulled over on the side of the highway and I asked Christ into my life. And it was this humongous just weight lifted off my shoulders, just this freedom. It was the first time that I knew that there was something else out there that was bigger than myself. And so I ended up losing my passion for basketball, and I quit basketball that next week. And I went to... finished out my year in El Reno, but then I transferred back to Norman, went to OU, and life wasn't perfect after that. Again, I thought pornography was still a part of my life through this. So even though I was running with Christ, I was leading worship, and I was in front of people, but I had this little secret that I was hanging on to. And at that point, it turned, I still thought, hey, this isn't hurting anybody. Everybody's doing it. I was really justifying that. But I also thought, hey, I'm starting to lead worship, and I tell people I'm a Christian, so I cannot tell anybody that I'm doing this. So there's no way I can tell anyone about this little secret. And so I held on to this for a while until I met my wife, Gretchen, my senior year in college. And so when I got married, I thought, hey, I don't need to deal with pornography. I don't need to deal with lust. I don't need to deal with any of this stuff, because now that I'm going to get married, it'll all just take care of itself. And so I just kind of stopped looking at porn and got married. And our first year of marriage was great. It was just an amazing year. But my second year of marriage, I found myself just kind of diving back into porn. And it wasn't jumping in. It was kind of looking at something. And then a week later, looking at something, and to the point where I was addicted to it. And my wife was working during the day, and I was a musician guy, and so I worked at Starbucks in the morning, and in the afternoon I was home by myself. And so she caught me with something I had looked at on the computer, and for 3 days she kept asking me, hey, is this something you struggle with? And I knew that she would divorce me if I told her. And so I looked my wife in the eye and I said, I've never struggled with pornography. I've never looked at it. I said, that was something my friend emailed to me. It was a joke. It won't happen again. And so for 3 days, she kept saying, I just feel like you need to tell me something. And I just kept looking her in the eye and saying, I promise you, I swear, I've never looked at porn. It's not a problem. And so on the third night, I remember about 2-3 in the morning, she woke me up and she said, I just feel like you need to tell me something. And I was like, woman, you're not going to stop. And it was crazy, but I sat up in bed. She said, hey, I said, wife, I promise you, there is nothing. You have to trust me. Lying to her the whole time. And so she said, well, I'm going to go out to the living room and just kind of pray and do some quiet time, read my Bible. I can't sleep. And so I sat up in bed, and I had this moment where I heard Satan telling me, hey, if you tell her, she's going to divorce you. You pack your bags tonight. Your marriage is over. And then I had the Holy Spirit, and I had the Lord tell me on the other side that you need to pull this into the light, and you have to trust me. And I remember I was so sick of my stomach. I was about to throw up everywhere. And I finally really came to the end of myself, and I said, I'm tired of doing this, and I can't handle it. So I walked out there, and I was very ready for her to divorce me and to say get out of the house. And I walked out there, and I told her everything. I confessed everything I had been doing. And I remember just sitting there, and she was crying, and I was crying. And she looked at me, and she said, I forgive you. Let's beat this together. And it was this amazing moment of just grace. And my wife today will say, hey, that wasn't me speaking. That was the Holy Spirit inside of me. Because she said, you know, months before that, I would have told you I would divorce you if I would have caught you with pornography. And so it was this incredible moment where I saw grace, man. And so from that point on, I said, hey, I'm going to go to Celebrate Recovery. There's this thing at Watermark called Celebrate Recovery. I'm going to go. So I went, and I remember going the very first night, and I'm sitting here in this big group, and I'm listening to these people talk, and I was like, man, these people are messed up. And I was like, I'm just looking at pornography. You know, I mean, there's some crazy people in there. And so I went home, and I said, babe, I don't have a problem. That's for something a little more serious than what I got. And she said, okay, well. So a month goes by, and then I find myself just even deeper into it, and I have to go back to my wife. I have another conversation. Hey, I really am addicted to this. I cannot stop. And so really at that point, I was like, I'm going to CR and I'm going to hang out with those people. And I went, and I remember I was in this big group for a long time, months. And I just thought, man, I've got to get in a small group. And so there's a couple buddies of mine that we all got to kind of get in the same group. And Willie was our, Willie and Chip were our leaders. And Celebrate Recovery, God used this program so huge in my life. And just those 10 guys. I remember every Monday night, man, I'd be sitting on the couch watching Monday Night Football or just kind of getting ready for that and thinking, I do not want to go to Celebrate Recovery tonight. I do not want to go. And just forcing myself to go. And so happy now that I did. But there was on that story of me telling my wife, I have a buddy, Kerry Pierce, who I'm friends with. And at that time, when I kind of started CR and when I had just confessed to my wife, I was recording a record and we were writing songs for this record. And I went to him and just said, here's the deal. Here's what happened last night. I confessed all this stuff to my wife. And he said, we need to write a song about that. So, and this was probably 2006, 2005, 2006. And so this song is a song called Mercy. And I wanted to play it for you guys tonight. And this is a song that just kind of won't go away. It's a song that has been on a couple records, and it's going to be on a new thing that I'm doing. But it's not the song, but it's just the story behind it. And it gives me an opportunity to go into a church that doesn't talk like this and talk about my struggle and talk about what God's been doing in my life. And so I'm going to, before I go on, I just want to play this song for you. This is a song called Mercy, and it is just about my story of just how God came in, man, and he pulled me out of that darkness, and he pulled me into his light. Well, thank you, guys. That is a song that is really powerful in my life. I remember the night I told my wife that I was doing this. I had come, like I said, come to the end of myself, and I remember really at that point I told Carrie, I said, man, I was crying out mercy to God because I had no control over myself, and I had lost everything that I thought I had control over. I realized that I didn't have any control, and that I had to finally give control to God. There's another just kind of, I want to end this way. I know there's probably a lot of you in this room that might feel that the addiction that you have or the stronghold on your life, that you're just going to be this way the rest of your life. And I remember telling my wife, really apologizing to her, that I was the way I was. I remember just saying, Gretchen, this is going to be something that we deal with our whole life. There's no way I'm never going to beat this. This is the way that I'm wired, and this is my deal. This is my little thing that I struggle with, and it's always going to be here. And I remember driving down 75 a while back and just thinking about 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says that we belong to Christ, and because we belong to him, we become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. And I started thinking about how I belong to Christ, and that old life is gone, and I have a new life in Christ now. And I started realizing that I'm not just this person that struggles with pornography and lust and people-pleasing and anxiety, that God didn't create me that way, and that's not what he wants from me. He doesn't want that old life. He wants me to run to him, and he wants me to be with him. And so just my life right now, just to kind of turn the corner, is a life where I'm living in community. I'm living in the light. I'm confessing. I live with a bunch of guys. I do life with a bunch of guys who know my struggles and just we're authentic with each other. And every single time that I see something on TV or I see some billboard or I see some house over in Highland Park that I want or I see a car or I get anxious about just God's plan for me, I just quickly confess that stuff, and it's very painful to confess every time. But I just want to challenge you guys, and I just want to encourage you that if you're in that spot where you think, this is just the way I am, and this is going to be something that I'm going to be stuck with the rest of my life, that's not true, and that's a lie that I think Satan holds us down with. And so 2 Corinthians 5:10-17 has really been huge for me, and just knowing that old life is gone and the new life has begun for me. And so I want to pray, and then I think we're going to have Nate come back up. Lord, I thank you just for that story that I get to tell. Lord, I thank you for this place that we can be open and authentic. That God, I can be around people like this who we all understand that we're not perfect. And that God, we struggle with things and we fall to our flesh. But we serve and we live under a God who gives us grace and who wants us to just run to Him. And a God who rescues us, and a God who redeems us and restores us. So, Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you as all these people go to their small groups, that they can be open and authentic with each other, that they can confess, that they can celebrate just the victories in their life, and that, God, you would keep working on us. We love you, and I say this in Christ's name. Amen.